Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you this December 8th, the Monday, from Washington, D.C. Washington, as you regular listeners know, is the headquarters of American Free Press, the newspaper that I write for on a regular basis. Also, of course, another one of our correspondents, Mark Glenn, is the host of the Liberty Hour on this network with his co-host, Bill Turney. You can check out American Free Press on the web at AmericanFreePress.net. That's the website of this regular weekly newspaper. Now, you regular listeners get bored hearing that same refrain all the time, but you always have to keep in mind, folks, that we don't want to just be preaching to the same choir every night of the week for years on end. We want new listeners, and I'm pretty confident that we do get new listeners all the time. In fact, I just got a couple emails over the past week or so from people saying, hey, I just heard your show for the first time, or I just tuned into republicbroadcasting.org for the first time. So that's good news. So, folks, you know, let me make a suggestion. This year, you know, I always urge you to send a special Christmas gift to RBN, because RBN certainly deserves it. RBN needs it to keep on the air. But, you know, when you send out your Christmas cards to your friends, why not put a little note in? You know, write out a note, type it up, Xerox it, stick it in your regular Christmas card. Tell your friends that have the internet that they can check out republicbroadcasting.org. Tell them there's a whole schedule. Tell them there's a lot of good programs here. Tell them to check it out themselves. You know, that's just one little way to continue to expand the listenership. It's a constant struggle, you know, folks, because people are bombarded with information, a lot of bad information, all over the internet and from everywhere else. Their mailboxes are full of direct mail at Christmas time and in January. So here's a great opportunity to just let people know about American Free Press and, of course, about the Republic Broadcasting Network. You know, I'll tell you, I have in front of me right now a whole big pile of clippings that I found just going through some newspapers today over dinner. Dinner and lunch, of course, I'm too fat to eat both dinner and lunch, so I generally eat one meal a day. But whatever the meal happens to be usually is the opportunity for me to have some quiet time to sit down and go through some newspapers and magazines and, you know, prepare for each night's radio program and for maybe something I might want to write for American Free Press. And so I come across lots of little tidbits that I find relevant in one form or another. And, of course, you know, folks, let's face it, this program, my program in particular, is quote-unquote controversial or quote-unquote radical, because I frequently discuss, more often than not, perhaps most of the time, what I consider to be the big political problem in America, immense Jewish political power. Some may wish to substitute the term Zionist there, but as I always say, Zionism is an offshoot of Judaism, and it is a influential force within Judaism. You know, of course, there are anti-Zionist Jews. We discuss that all the time. But I want to discuss this a little bit further when we come back, because I think it is an important subject, at least if I'm to believe everything that I read in the daily newspapers. So stay tuned, folks.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. Take Superbeta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Superbeta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Superbeta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Superbeta Prostate banner to learn more about the product.
Take a stand for health. Life Change Tea. We ship worldwide. France, Germany, London, Australia, Finland, and more. Join the thousands that are making the step for a healthy body. Flush out toxins, lower blood sugar levels, annihilate acid reflux, lose weight. You can do it. It's time for change. It's time for health. Grab life, turn from death. The chemicals in the air will only get worse. Clean your body now with Life Change Tea. Order online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us. Friendly operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. You've heard it. 928-308-0408. Getthetea.com. It works.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here. Before we went to the break, I was talking about that subject that I talk about frequently. You know, the Asia Times did an article some years ago. I was a primary target of it, but it was in context of my then ongoing trip to Malaysia after having also been to Japan. And this author for the Asia Times said that I had made a career out of crusading against Jews. Well, that's a lie. I have crusaded against inordinate Jewish power in this country, as I say, because I consider it a danger, because when any single group, particularly a group that represents a small minority of the population, has greater power than the vast overwhelming majority, this overwhelming majority that is constituted of other peoples, Hispanics, Asians, European Americans, African Americans, when that immense number of people in this country, when their power is overwhelmed by such a small minority, there is a problem, particularly when that small minority, this small and willful minority, dictates our foreign policy and gets our nation involved in treasury robbing and blood-sucking foreign ventures that have nothing to do with our national interests and everything to do with the interests of Israel and the international Zionist and Jewish movement. Yes, there is a problem there. And that problem will continue until that problem is resolved. Now, in this context, it's important to consider the fact that we constantly read in the press, in the mainstream press and in the Jewish press, that anti-Semitism is this historic problem, this nagging problem that just won't go away. Now, how do we combat anti-Semitism? And when I use the term anti-Semitism very loosely, we refer to anti-Jewish attitudes, anti-Jewish and or anti-Israel attitudes. Now, it's interesting. The government of Bahrain, which is a very conservative but at the same time rather progressive kingdom in the Middle East, an Arab kingdom, largely Muslim, of course, they have appointed their first Jewish ambassador to the United States, a lady named Halda Ezra Nonu, and forgive me, Ambassador, if I mispronounced your name, but she's said to be the first Jew ever to represent an Arab country in the United States. Now, what's ironic is because her government doesn't have official dealings with the state of Israel, that is, official dealings, she says, I cannot have any dealings with the Israeli embassy. But, she adds, understand that Israel and Judaism are two different things. Now, that is important to recognize because this program acknowledges that not all Jews are Zionists and not all Zionists are Jews. So, yes, we recognize, as the ambassador says, Israel and Judaism are two different things. There are many people around the world who consider themselves Jews, for better or worse, who do not necessarily support the state of Israel. And, of course, there are many people who are ardent Zionists living in Israel and living around the world who are not even religiously Jewish, but consider themselves culturally Jewish or ethnically Jewish. As we pointed out on this program, there's even a big debate within Israel itself over the question, who is a Jew? So that having been said, I would like to think that this program, wittingly or unwittingly, this program, which I loosely call the Piper Report, for want of a better name for it, is providing what the Jerusalem Post's writer Marilyn Henry said is one address in the anti-Semitism battle. She points out that the U.S. State Department has established an Office of Global Anti-Semitism and Awareness. They have a special envoy for monitoring and combating anti-Semitism. And she points out that there are so many different groups fighting anti-Semitism, fighting anti-Jewish attitudes. She says, it's time for the anti-Semitism combatants to coordinate and not to compete. If they don't, they risk becoming irrelevant and useless to Israel and their own Jewish constituents. She says, there is no single address. There are many. Well, I would like to think that this address, republicbroadcasting.org, and specifically this hour, this nightly hour, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time, is an address on the Internet, an address where we do address the subject of anti-Jewish attitudes and try to find an explanation for them. Now, I find many radio show hosts, not necessarily on this network, but elsewhere, and people writing on the Internet, tripping all over themselves, denying that they're anti-Semitic, even as they often actually make anti-Jewish remarks. And then I find other people constantly condemning anti-Jewish attitudes and people who are perceived to be anti-Jewish, and they almost sound disingenuous in doing it. It sounds, frankly, like they are trying to, let's be candid about it, let's be vulgar about it, kiss up to the Jews. Well, I try not to do that on this program. I try to look frankly and candidly at current events and historical events involving anti-Jewish attitudes, which, again, the mass media says anti-Judaism and anti-Semitism is one of the great tragedies of history, a virus that just doesn't seem to go away. Well, this is a program where we try to provide an inoculation on behalf of the Jewish people that will help them understand why people are anti-Jewish and what the Jewish people can do to stop anti-Semitism. Because the problem is today, so many Jewish people, and particularly their leaders in Jewish organizations, say that, well, people are jealous or that people misunderstand Jewish history, or at the same time, they, let's be honest about this, folks. They say that the people were, you know, people are jealous of the Jewish people because the Jewish people are a superior group of people. Their genetics are greater in some ways. They have better family values, better systems than all other peoples. I mean, this is not my wording. This is this. You can find this. I've cited this on this program many times in the American Jewish Committee's publication, commentary, all sorts of places, folks. Okay. So I think there is a need for a central address. And I would like to think that this program provides a central address. There are many, many people out there obviously addressing the subject in one form or another. But I think in a certain sense this program has evolved into precisely that. That's probably no surprise considering the fact that much of my own writing over the years has focused on what has been historically called the Jewish problem. Not my words, the words of Jewish writers, anti-Jewish writers, people neutral on the subject of Jewish power and influence. How is it relevant today? Well, how is it relevant? Okay, we find a Catholic Church immersed in the Jewish problem. We have Jewish newspapers now condemning Pope Benedict because he recently praised Pope Pius XII. And, of course, according to the Washington Jewish Week, this year marks 50 years since the death of Pius, who critics accuse of turning a blind eye to Jewish suffering during the Holocaust. Some Jewish organizations are among the critics. Some Jewish organizations. The only non-Jewish organizations that are among the critics are so-called Christian rackets like this John Eric Phelps, who says the Vatican is behind everything. And, of course, turns out he works peddling diamonds from the Israeli diamond industry. And then, of course, there are front organizations funded by Jewish money that pretend to be interfaith, and they are among the critics. Well, the Vatican, in turn, says that Pius XII worked behind the scenes to help Jews, but the Jews say, well, otherwise. And when I say the Jews, I don't mean every single Jew on the face of the planet. I don't mean every single Jew on the face of the planet is out campaigning against Pius XII. But the fact is that Jewish organizations and Jewish newspapers do sing this refrain. And, of course, on the issue of foreign policy, which, again, I think is paramount above all when considering Jewish influence, although Jewish influence is significant in cultural terms here in America, in many respects, many areas, in economic terms, when we consider certainly the impact of these major Jewish banking houses like Lehman Brothers and major Jewish financial concerns like AIG, bailed out almost instantaneously when the car makers, these domestic manufacturers, are struggling, crawling on their hands and knees, and there's a major debate about how to do it. Well, in any case, this foreign policy issue overrides and affects everybody in many, many ways. And here we have this announcement by Washington Jewish Week that, listen to this headline, on foreign policy, Obama and Bush are sounding similar. It says, not only is Barack Obama inheriting George W. Bush's Middle East, it looks like he's adopting his strategies. Elsewhere, it's pointed out that there are many pro-Israel elements within Obama's inner circle. Well, this comes as no surprise. I mean, we never expect anybody elected president of the United States to be anything other than adamantly pro-Israel. There will be always nuances, of course, between administrations, but basically what Israel wants, Israel gets. So again, this issue of Jewish power is right in our face. It's in our face, whether the Jews want to admit it or not. Stay tuned.
Don't be a victim of sudden cardiac arrest due to inflammation of the arterial walls. Our hemp foods are anti-inflammatory and gluten-free and can greatly benefit the health of the human body. by calling 908-691-2608 or visiting hempusa.org, you can benefit from this wonderful natural food source. Our customers are also purchasing this natural food for long-term storage, camping, survival, and emergency food rations. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org today. HempUSA.org believes that now is the time to plan for the future, and food will be your greatest asset. People spend money on all kinds of things, but our warning is prepare now for food shortages in the future. So don't delay. Call today, 908-691-2608, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Are clear.
The worldwide economic collapse is here.
The military is being positioned for martial law.
The mark of the beast is at hand.
Governments are calling for a new world cashless economic system.
Having a long-term food solution is your only hope
to stay free.
Now, Survivalist Seeds introduces their Escape the Beast Kit, 24 varieties of all-natural, non-genetically modified heirloom seeds.
For true patriots and homesteaders wanting food insurance.
That's over 5 pounds of rare historic seeds
for a penny per seed.
15,000 seeds that will feed a family healthy food for 7 years. Big John Lipscomb, host of Don't Tread on Me, is including an instructional DVD that will teach you how to earn big money selling the produce from his incredible heirloom seeds back to him, restaurants, and small delis.
Don't buy from copycats. Their fancy packaging is not free.
Order today before it's too late. SurvivalistSeeds.com.
That's SurvivalistSeeds.com.
A long-term food solution.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, addressing this thing which historically has been called the Jewish problem. Again, not my words, the words of many. And in that regard, you know, one of the things that is often addressed in the context of, quote unquote, the Jewish problem is this issue of Jewish power in the media. I was reminded of this when I read just today that David Gregory, the longtime White House correspondent for NBC News, is taking over Meet the Press for Jim Russert, who died. Tim Russert, who died recently. Now, Tim Russert was a professional Irishman. I can say he was a professional Irishman because I'm of Irish descent myself, so I'm allowed to say that. But anyway, Tim Russert was a professional Irishman, but he could always be counted upon to advance the Jewish agenda without fail. Well, now we have David Gregory taking over. David Gregory happens to be Jewish. I don't know if he's pro-Zionist or anti-Zionist. I suspect he's probably pro-Zionist, but the point is this, it doesn't really make much of a difference anyway, because we just get more of the same. The real problem of Jewish power, the Jewish problem, vis-a-vis the mass media, is that so much of the mass media is controlled by a small handful of Jewish families and financial interests. A good example of it, we read today that the Tribune Company, they've hired bankruptcy advisors. Now, the Tribune Company, everybody associates that with the Chicago Tribune, but it goes a little bit bigger than that. The Chicago Company, the Tribune Company, not only owns the Chicago Tribune, it also owns the Los Angeles Times, the cable super television station, WGN in Chicago, the Baltimore Sun newspaper, and WDCW 50 radio, or no, television station, I'm sorry, it's Channel 50, here in Washington, D.C. The Los Angeles Times, the Baltimore Sun, the Chicago Tribune, that's a pretty powerful company, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't need to echo myself and everybody else who knows the facts that all the major news magazines are owned by Jewish families and financial interests, along with all the major networks in one form or another. So this is an aspect of the Jewish problem. The Jewish problem. And it's something you cannot get away from. So yes, this program does continue to focus on this subject. And I think I'm going to say from now on that is the focus of this program. We will discuss other things. We will discuss other things, as we always have discussed other things in this subject. But I think we have reached a juncture. When I say we, I don't just mean me in the royal sense or me and RBN and my context of my presentation here on RBN, or you and I, you the listeners, and me as the host. I think when I say we, I mean the whole nation and the world as a whole, precisely because of the immense Jewish power in the United States, the country that, for better or for worse, is a predominant power, but maybe not for long in our world today. So we do have to address the Jewish problem. And in addressing the Jewish problem, folks, I think if we're candid about it and not dancing around I'm not gonna skip around and hop around and mince and prance and deny that I'm anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish. You know, I remember seeing Christopher Bolin interviewed by CNN, in which he denied that he was anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish. But then again, you look at everything that he's written on the subject, touching on the subject, and yes, indeed, by the definition of the powers that be, the things that he has written do constitute anti-Semitism and anti-Judaism in more ways than one. So, no, we're not going to mince and prance like Kinky Balloon on this program and deny that we're anti-Semitic or deny that we're anti-Jewish. Aryan from California can call in here and call us names, but we're not going to address the issue of the name-calling. We want to address the specifics of the issue of the Jewish problem, not deny. See, this is the game that the Jewish power brokers have played, particularly since World War II. They say, to silence their critics, they say, oh, well, he's anti-Jewish. He's a Hitler apologist. He's a this. He's a that. And then, of course, people automatically start ducking and say, oh, no, I'm not anti-Jewish. I mean, after all, Hitler was Jewish. Hitler was a Zionist. Hitler was responsible for the establishment of the State of Israel, this and that, over and over again. You know, you get yourself running around like a little hamster in a cage. And if they have you running in that circle like a hamster in a cage, then they got you exactly where they want you, because the only way to get out of that little spinning wheel for the hamster is to just go back into his cage and be silent. Well, no, we're not going to allow ourselves to act like hamsters in the cage. Well, speaking of cages and the cage, we do have a caller, Cage from Indiana, and I am going to bring Cage up right after the break, and we will then go to our other caller. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40. And by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms. And they do not go away. Take Super Beta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Super Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Super Beta Prostate banner to learn more about the product.
Howdy, gardeners. This is Mike from Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company. We carry America's largest selection of heirloom seed, all non-hybrid, non-GMO, and non-Monsanto. We offer 1,200 varieties that our grandparents grew, vegetables that helped us survive the Great Depression, varieties that our founding fathers grew, and varieties that not only survive but thrive in today's gardens. All our vegetable seed is open pollinated, which means you can save your own seed from generation to generation. Want to learn more about heirloom seeds and what the government is doing to control our food supply? If so, request our free 124-page seed catalog. And today, we offer you our Homestead Collection, 60 full-size packs of pure heirloom seed for $83 postpaid. That's 60 fresh packets of seed for just $83. Call us today to order your free catalog or our seed collection at 866-OLD-SEED. That's 866-OLD-SEED, or go online to oldseed.com. That's oldseed.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. Just by coincidence, I want to assure you that it just so happened that Cage from Indiana was calling right at a time when I was talking about the context of so many people running like hamsters in a little cage. But anyway, Cage, forgive me. Don't take that personally.
Well, hey, I did know, though, wow, it was rather ironic of the introduction, because I just wanted to touch in here. It's kind of a somber note. I haven't really been myself the last few weeks, and I have a family member who's kind of ill and all, and next 48 hours or something. But anyway, I wanted to point out, you know, anyone that listens to your show, they know how I am, and I still believe it. I don't want them to get the wrong idea in any way, shape, or form. I know what the, you know, everybody knows what's up here that listens to this show, obviously, including the people that monitor it. But lifelong friend of that person, known him for like four decades, made him a lot of money for over two decades. Anyway, he got real choked up about it. He's one of those big shots. And he got kind of choked up about what he heard. And he's dropping his... You would know what... I'm not going to mention on the air. You would know who he was, Mike. Pretty big in broadcasting and all. And he's dropping everything. And he got real choked up. And he knew my father. He knew how my father felt about certain things. You know, he was real independent and all. But just the fact, I mean, I just wanted to discern to your audience. I mean, it's weird how that works. And I'd like it, you know, I'm naive. I've been around the block, but when it comes to my heart about people, and it just makes me wonder, because I don't know. It just seems to me the fact that he has the compassion, and you had to, I don't know. And it just makes me wonder, why is it, I guess, when it comes to, like, individual relations, just like you and I, you know, we deal with people on an individual basis, and gosh dang it, and in a group situation, we deal with people too, but maybe they're the same way. And, man, I'm not saying that to sell out my views, and I don't want anyone out there to get me wrong on that, but just the compassion, I don't know.
I know what you're saying, yeah, and my, I don't want to say sympathy because I don't like the word sympathy.
No,
my empathy.
I appreciate it. But
yeah, my empathy goes out to you, and I think all of our listeners who've gone through things like this. I had to make a trip home to watch my mother die, and it was not one of the most pleasant trips that I ever had to take, you know, not knowing whether she would be alive when I got there or how long she would be alive, and whether she would be alive when I left or not, you know. So it's, yeah, we all, in one form or another, have to go through that. And, you know, it's a matter of, you know, person to person. And that's exactly what it comes down to, you know. And then again, we have to look at groups as groups.
Right.
It's, you know, it's one of these things that we just have to deal with. And, you know, you have to deal, just to put it in this context, just as we have to deal with what we call the Jewish problem, we also have to deal with these real-life, day-to-day problems, you know, that, look, we're going to lose a friend or a family member, and there's nothing you can do about it. I lost one of my oldest friends and one of my best newer friends within a week of one another a couple years ago. You know, two young people both got cancer and should not have died, but... hey, the time was up, and, you know, it's funny, I was thinking about that very subject this evening. I was actually sitting down scribbling in a notebook trying to keep it. As I get older, I forget these dates and things, and I made up my mind I was going to keep a little journal of significant dates, and I scribbled those down just before this program began, the dates of these friends' death in the context of my mother's death, which came not long afterward, and it's just a reminder of our own mortality. And we have to do what we have to do as long as we're on the face of this earth. And, you know, I've been doing what I've been doing for, what, roughly 28 years from now. And as long as I can continue to do it, I'm going to continue to do it.
I don't mean to make you sound old, Mike, but I've studied your career my entire adult life, so.
Well, see, we're all getting old. Listen, Cage, you just relax and...
I just wanted to point out, I think, gosh dang, you know, when it comes to your heart, I don't know. I think all the other things just kind of go out the window for that moment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool, and I appreciate being able to get that out, Mike.
All right, Cage. Listen, it's good to hear from you. You take care of yourself.
All right.
All right. There we go, ladies and gentlemen. Yep, we all have to deal with these things whether we like it or not. Whether it's politics or personal, it's always with us. All right, let's go to... Rick in Arizona. Rick, come on up.
Yeah, good evening, Mike.
How you doing, Rick?
Good. Hey, I saw a DVD many years ago about, it was titled The Men Who Killed Kennedy. Are you familiar with it?
Yes, I've seen, there have been several versions of that, and I'm familiar with at least one of the versions of it, and I've seen, there have been different bits and pieces added to it. So the quick answer is yes.
Okay. In one of, I think it was Frank Sturgis was in there, and Sturgis was being interviewed shortly for a short period of time, and what Sturgis said was, nobody would have done it. He was referring to, like, whatever, mafia or the government. He said, nobody would have taken the contract. Okay?
Okay.
And I don't know how many, I know a relative of mine was in secret government work most of his life. He was in the military. And he was overseas for many years, but that, when I run into him around Christmas time and that kind of thing, we talk about this kind of thing, about not about his work, but he said that as far as anybody inside the government, the people inside the government, the CIA or the FBI, they are they are government people. They are ordinary human beings who are looking at their they're waiting for their pension. They're waiting just to get out, to get through it without any problems. And as far as a conspiracy inside the government killing Kennedy, would almost be impossible, for nobody would trust anybody in that circle of to do that crime. It could never have been done.
Well, you know, that's very interesting, and it's particularly interesting to me because if you look in the context of my book itself, I think the book makes it clear that it was not an internal U.S. government conspiracy, as far as I'm concerned. There were elements inside the U.S. government working with elements inside the Israeli government, working with elements inside the Jewish crime syndicate, in turn working perhaps at the lowest levels with some of these groups, which were certainly independent groups among Cuban Americans and others. So it was not like there was a decision. I don't believe that there was a decision inside the U.S. government per se that, well, we have to remove John F. Kennedy. I think it was kind of, you know, Fletcher Prouty's character, Mr. X, in the film JFK, said it was kind of in the wind. And I think that's kind of the way you need to look at it. And then, of course, as I pointed out, the late Ace Hayes said the assassination of Kennedy was kind of like the assassination of Julius Caesar. Everyone wanted to stick their knife in. You know what I mean? So I think there's a certain, although I think Frank Sturgis was involved, you know, the funny thing about Frank Sturgis is that officially he never was on the payroll of the CIA. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people always refer to him as a CIA contract agent. My understanding is that you don't actually find any government documents anywhere that say Frank Sturgis received money from the CIA. Frank Sturgis was working with people in the CIA. My good friend Andrew St. George, who was a correspondent for Life magazine, knew Frank Sturgis very well, both in Cuba before the revolution, in Cuba after the revolution, and, you know, here on U.S. soil when Sturgis was involved in the plots against Castro. And, again, evidently during that time, Frank Sturgis was never either a CIA contract agent or a CIA on the CIA payroll. So again, you know, there's a lot of misperception about a lot of these people who are out there doing these things behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of validity to what you're saying there, or to what you're quoting your friend, and you know, if you think about that, it certainly does make sense. It certainly does make sense. So yeah, you know, there are these nuances, and you know, it's very easy to say, well, the CIA killed Kennedy, or the Mossad killed Kennedy, or this killed Kennedy, or that killed Kennedy, but I don't think it's as cut and dried as a lot of people would like to think. And that's one of the reasons why my book is so problematic for people, because I like to think that my, and I'm talking now about my book in particular, my book cuts through a lot of those nuances and says that even though somebody might be working for the CIA on the CIA payroll, he might actually be working for an outside group that has its fingers inside the CIA and inside organized crime and inside the Cuban movement. So Rick, I think I appreciate that call. That's given me quite a bit to think about.
Well, you know, have you ever been deer hunting?
Yes.
Okay, well, I've deer hunted all my life, and even when I see a deer, I get excited. And I've missed shots because I get excited.
And okay.
I'm totally convinced that whoever whacked him had killed many men before.
Oh, I'm sure of that. Well, yeah, my one source vis-a-vis the JFK assassination, my one genuine source outside published materials said that, in fact, one of the assassins was, this is complicated, but it makes sense, one of the assassins in particular, at least one of the assassins, was contracted out by the Israelis through French intelligence, which reached into its assets inside French organized crime. So, see, again, this guy was brought to Dallas totally independent of the CIA, and no one in the CIA who may have been involved in some aspect of the plot to kill Kennedy may not have even known about this guy being sent to Dallas. So, you know, there are layers within layers wheels within wheels, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I don't know. It's peculiar as far as it's too many. I think it was very few people involved, in my opinion.
I agree.
Very few people.
I agree completely.
There's nobody who would trust anybody in that situation. So I think it was international. I don't know for sure who did it, but whoever did it had a lot of practice.
Oh, exactly. And see, that's something else. You know, people who've criticized my book, they say, "Oh my God, he has this group and that group and this group and that group." No, in the closing, the summary chapter, I point out that there were probably less than 50 people at most who were involved in the actual planning and execution of the assassination itself. And a lot of other people who have been implicated in one way or another just kind of were on the sidelines and didn't know anything about an assassination, but because they happened to interact with Lee Harvey Oswald at one point or Jack Ruby or somebody like this, their names have been brought into it, and that's confused things even further. So you and I are in closer agreement than you may realize.
Yeah. All right, Mike.
All right, Rick, thanks for your call. Very interesting call, ladies and gentlemen. Very interesting call. Okay. Go to our next caller. We have Dave in Massachusetts. Dave, come on up.
Oh, good evening, Michael.
How you doing, Dave?
Pretty good. You want to know something kind of curious? I don't know if anybody stumbles upon it in your archives. I'd like to find out which show it was. What I'm talking about, Michael, is Rick Adams Friday night after your show, a couple of hours after your show. You know, Rick Adams had Dr. Khalid on as his guest. Dr. K.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Dr. K was talking all about the terrorist attack over in Mumbai and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, and here again, like 9/11, like the World Trade Center, Dr. K was proving, you know, that there was CIA, Mossad involvement. But, you know, the last week we were talking about the psychic phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that call I made to you about, it was like in October, where I told the parable about the rampaging rogue Indian elephant?
I do vaguely now that you mention it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I told this little parable how we.
I do remember that. Mm-hmm.
I kind of like took the listeners of the show over to India and so on, and
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We saw this rampaging rogue Indian elephant people and everything. I'll kind of refresh your memory, you know. So we went to the mayor and we went to the police and everything, the authorities, and we told them about this rampaging rogue Indian elephant was killed, you know, and they just looked at us. They just looked at us with blank faces, and then we all said, "Aren't you going to do anything? Aren't you going to try to stop this rogue elephant from killing all these people?" But why I mention it, Michael, is Kay made it very clear that the authorities stood down. They let this rogue elephant, these terrorists, kill people. And Dr. Kay says for these 2 hours, the police and the military and even the police, the Mumbai police, they completely stood down. They wouldn't do a damn thing to try to stop this rampaging rogue elephant. In other words, these terrorists and so on. You know?
Oh, I tell you, I'm not going to make any study of it myself because I think enough people are out there doing it now, and I think, you know, when you get to the bottom of it, you're going to find that the story, the official story, is not anything like what we've been told. I've seen enough people in enough places, you know, bringing out some of these anomalies and these little oddball elements, so to speak, that, again, you know, point toward the fact that just like with 9/11, just like with the Kennedy assassination, just like with the World Trade Center number one bombing, the Oklahoma City bombing, the official story is far from the truth. So it's I think Dr. K is right about that. That's one of these little, that's not a little item, that's a very big item that needs to be explained.
Yeah, he was talking about, I have to listen to it again more carefully, but as I recall, Friday night now, he was talking about a Mr. Karkari. I believe the name is Karkari, but he was the dog of anti-terrorism in Mumbai, Karkari. And had a crew, like a half a dozen men that were his assistants and everything. But they, prior to this, all assassinated, and they were murdered. And Dr. was making the link between their murder, the assassination of the top anti-terrorist official, Kakari, with Saad. But it reminded me now in the World Trade Center, the top man there, I think he had an Irish name there that was in charge of security and the top security man. Now, he was murdered too. What was his name?
I don't remember that one, Dave. Hey, yeah. Dave, listen, we're going to the break here. Why don't you hang on? All right, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Collins Pfeiffer here at republicbroadcasting.org.
The stock market is crazy. The chemtrails are spraying us with their chemicals. It's time to think about what is important. Most forget just how important life is. Life Change Tea removes toxins, chemicals, parasites, and bacteria that store up in your body. It cleanses you and gives you results in hours. And one of the wonderful side effects from this product is you lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. And on top of that, there's a 45-day money-back guarantee. So why wait? Call now. Operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. I'll say it again. 928-308-0408. Or order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, stock market may crash, but you don't have to go with it.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. Take Superbeta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Superbeta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Super Beta Prostate banner to learn more about the product.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johngalia.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We're wrapping up the hour here. We've got Dave from Massachusetts aboard with us. Apologies to those we couldn't bring up tonight, but tomorrow night, God willing, we will be here. Yeah, Dave, you were talking before we went to the break there. Go ahead.
Yeah, the chief of security, the top security man now, Michael, at the Trade Center, his name was going to come to the break. It was something like John McCarthy or John McLaughlin. It was John McCarthy.
O'Neill. O'Neill.
John O'Neill.
Yeah, John O'Neill was a former FBI guy who was brought in to head security at the World Trade Center, and he actually died on 9/11, right?
Yeah, they made sure he turned up dead too, huh?
You know, it's interesting. There's a video about John O'Neill called The Man Who Knew. And, of course, the implication is that John O'Neill was aware that that Muslims had attacked the World Trade Center previously and that they were going to attack again. But, you know, it's funny. In that video, they show the source, and they don't point this out, but they show a diagram of the source of Al-Qaeda's famous terrorism manual. That Al-Qaeda terrorism manual, so-called, was found in the hands of a Palestinian named, I believe, Ahmad Ajaj. Well, Robert I. Friedman wrote in the Village Voice that that particular Palestinian was, in fact, a Palestinian who had become an asset of Israel's Mossad, and he was up to his eyeballs in the attack on the World Trade Center the first time around. So, yes, this was a Mossad agent from whose hands we got the quote-unquote Al-Qaeda manual on terrorism. So it looks as though the actual origins of the Al-Qaeda manual, the famous manual that so many Americans screech and cry about, actually originated with Israel's Mossad. So, again, you know, you can't get away from this Israeli connection to these acts of terrorism. There's a long and dirty history of Israeli false flag operations, of course, going back to the Levon affair. I wish Aryan from California would look up the Levon affair and explain that away. Aryan, if you're listening, it's spelled L-A-V-O-N, the Levon affair. Look it up, Aryan, if you can explain to me why Israel would launch terrorist attacks on American and British installations and try to blame it on the Muslims. Aryan, if you can give me an excuse for that, I'd love to hear it. What do you think, Dave?
Well, you know, what's interesting, Michael, I don't watch the Jewish-controlled media anymore, so I understand, you know, that I saw on the internet that the Jewish center over there in Mumbai was attacked. But it's interesting that what I find Jewish people, when it's to their benefit to say that they're Jewish, they're Jewish. But when it's to their benefit to say that they're an Englishman or a Frenchman or a German, you know, they'll say that of their country of origin or whatever. But I find it interesting with Aryan, he says that his parents are from India. And when I saw all those Jewish Indian people that were supposedly murdered and everything, I couldn't think of Aryan that maybe.
Well, now, Dave, in Aryan's defense, we stipulated, don't forget, we stipulated that he's not Jewish. Don't get him on that one again, Dave.
Michael,
all right, we got to wrap up the hour here. Thanks to everyone for listening in. This is the show where we do candidly address the Jewish problem and try to solve the Jewish problem so that people won't be nasty to Jews just because they are Jews. We are fighting, quote-unquote, anti-Semitism on this program, and we invite Jewish people of goodwill to join us in the fight. All right, folks, stay tuned. Let's hear what Roger Fredenberg has to say. Probably be completely different from what I've had to say, but who knows? We keep praying for Roger every night, and we hope that he will come around. We got him sandwiched between Rick Adams and I. Now, that's a great sandwich. Stay tuned, folks.
With financial